In light of not one, but two mass shootings this past weekend alone, a lot of people are likely more concerned about their personal safety no matter where they go. This is Lisa Berry, and local governments and law enforcement agencies are being forced to take a closer look at public safety and training their departments on how to deal with what one hopes is an unlikely scenario. Joining us now on 89.1 WEMU is Dr. Kenneth Wolf, who travels around Michigan teaching organizations best practices and strategies to prepare and deal with active shooting incidents. Thanks for joining us here on WEMU.
Thank you.
I understand you were recently in Washtenaw County. Can you tell us about
that? It was a program that was funded by MIOSHA in the SET training division. We offer training programs in active shooter survival to Michigan employers, unions, schools, healthcare workers, and the chief Hart in Saline invited us to come over there in conjunction with the Saline Public Schools, and they provided an auditorium for us to meet with members of the Washtenaw County community.
And what kind of things are you talking about and teaching them?
One of the things we try and do was talk about what are some of the strategies to survive an active shooter event. While they're low frequency, they're very highly lethal. And the Department of Homeland Security recommends that if you get involved in one of these events, your best choices are to run, in other words, evacuate and flee the kill zone, hide or shelter in place, find a place in your school, library, factory, where you can get behind a door that you can barricade and keep the person out. And if that doesn't work, you might want to think about, are you willing to engage the shooter because there are a few other choices? The average active shooter event lasts about 1 to 5 or 6 minutes. Police response time is usually about 3 to 15 minutes, depending upon the area. So one of the things you have to realize is that you are the first responder and police are going to be second responders. So if you're ever involved in one of these low frequency events, you have to recognize danger. You have to overcome maybe a shock disbelief or freeze reaction and then have a plan.
So this is advice that you're giving out because if, unfortunately, someone is caught up in that moment, they're probably not really thinking about it. But you are teaching people this, so if they get in that situation, they will already know it and have it on their mind and hopefully act accordingly?
Right, and there are really two levels of survival. One is to recognize what the situation is. The other is to take immediate action and also to understand human reactions of freezing, of shock, disbelief, denial, or a frozen fright. Freezing is not a good survival choice. It's a human reaction. And when people are in danger, they think of fight, flight, or freeze. So because nobody is really prepared for these kinds of events, then what you need to do is recognize you may have this kind of reaction and then break the freeze and then translate your freeze or surprise reaction into an adrenaline survival response.
So you, Dr. Kenneth Wolf, were recently in Saline teaching these strategies and giving this advice. What kind of organizations are you talking to?
We're talking to all kinds of employers. We're talking to municipalities. We're talking to corporations, hospitals, healthcare, houses of worship, civic organizations, unions, really wherever somebody could be in a situation that could be exposed to a potential unwanted intruder or shooter, you want to be able to have a plan.
Now, you are a fully licensed clinical psychologist in Michigan who has worked with numerous incidents and disasters over the past 35 years. Do you think we're seeing more of these types of incidents lately?
If you look at the data from NIOSH, there are 2 million assaults in the workplace every year, and that's like 38,000 a week. So those are higher frequency but lower lethal kinds of events than active shooter events. On the other hand, when the active shooter event occurs, because it's so low frequency and we haven't trained for it, it becomes very frightening and deadly and scary. So a lot of organizations are saying, how can we prepare our employees with survival skills? They're also looking at security surveys to look at access control, emergency alert and notification systems to keep the bad guys out, and then train people what to do if somebody comes in.
It sounds like you speak primarily to adults, and I'll be honest, I'm not even happy that we're having this conversation, but it seems like it's more of a reality that you think, is it your advice that everyone should know these things and be prepared?
You know, it's like every other health and safety issue. You train people what to do in a fire drill, and now we're training people what to do if there's an aggressive intruder or active shooter. In the schools, there are a lot of programs now for teachers and students called ALICE, you know, in terms of what do you do if there's an intruder in the school. And to almost some extent, some of the school kids are more prepared and trained than employees in adult workplaces because of the availability of such training that's been going on for several years. Employers now are looking at what can we do in the adult civilian workplace to impart these skills to employees, visitors, customers, vendors, and temps, and patients, and clients.
If you are dealing with children, though, do you have to take a different tact, or do you don't want to alarm them or scare them?
Right. I think what you need to do is do training that's age appropriate. In other words, you don't want to frighten and traumatize kids who are in elementary school or kindergarten and first, second, third grades. Kids in high school and or middle school are much more mature. They understand what's going on in a more sophisticated way, so there could be more aggressive training. Also, they'll have the physical skills to learn how to respond in terms of sheltering in place or, as a last resort, engaging the potential aggressor.
Well, obviously, this is on a lot of our minds today in light of what keeps happening and happened not once but twice this past weekend. Do you have any bottom line advice we can give people?
You know, there's an old saying, the body will not go where the mind has never been. By participating in training programs, either at work, through the local police departments, offices of emergency management, you're starting to orient people how to have a survival probability increase if one of these low-frequency events were to occur.
So it sounds like be prepared, think about it, and have a plan.
Having a plan is very important. In other words, what would I do? You know, sit in your office and say, if I see somebody with a weapon in a parking lot, what would I do? If I hear shots in the hall, what would I do? And what you need to do is recognize danger, recognize your distance from the potential perpetrator. If somebody's outside in a parking lot, you have maybe a minute to think about running and getting out of a kill zone or evacuating. If somebody's in the hall, then maybe your best choice would be, can I put furniture, a copier, a desk, something behind the door and shelter in place and get out of line of sight in order to keep the potential perpetrator out? If those two options aren't available, then maybe what you need to say, am I willing to act aggressively and try and engage this individual? The best time to engage an individual is when the perpetrator is either reloading, turns his or her back on you, or sets their weapon down. And then you have seconds to maybe seize that as an opportunity to either evacuate and or engage.
Dr. Kenneth Wolf, not the conversation we want to have, but I guess it's something we need to hear. And we appreciate you sharing your expertise. You were recently in Washtenaw County, and thank you for sharing this information with us here at 89.1 WEMU.
You're very welcome.